Session number 30342, reel 1.
Right, Mr. McDonald, could you tell us your full name?
My name is Oswald Stanley McDonald, but they called me Oswald when I was asleep, when I was a kid, when I wanted to be a saint before he went to church, he got christened and all that. So I stuck a Stanley on his bed. It always got called back, actually, by me missing that. But my name is Stanley McDonald, anyway.
And when were you born?
And I was born in South Shields, County Durham. And I lived on a street called Parford Street. And I went to St. Bede's School. Then we got transferred to a council house in Thames Lane, Dean's Estate, 35 Thames Lane.
And when were you born?
November the 25th, 1920.
And what did your dad do for a living?
My dad, when he was working, he was not an old worker up there, he was a riveter.
And what was the shipyard that he worked at?
Brigham and Cowes and Redheads and Palmer's Heaven. It's as far as I know. There's probably a lot about that area, but that's as far as I can remember anyway.
And you say that times were hard in those days, so how often was he working and not working?
Well, I worked, but my dad there was very hardly working at all because there was so much unemployment up there. And we got by all right, because they used to mend our shoes and things like that. And even going out there, mending our shoes, with cutting a bit of a motor car tied up and sticking on the soles of your shoes and things like that. But it didn't stay very long because we were going to put playing on it and see it come off again. We were quite handy like that, so it saved you Bob that way. And what every couple of years or so, you got a pair of boots from the police station. All the kids that's dads weren't working, they got to get these boots from the police station. And to stop their parents from flogging them, they put three holes in the top of the boot, each boot, so that the kids could wear them, because you get people that would always flog the kids' shoes and that, you know.
What was South Shields like? You have early memories of South Shields, so there was a lot of unemployment.
Well, as a child, I didn't really accept it because all the kids around me where I played in the back there and things like that were all there pretty much the same. You know, their dads was, very nearly their dads was working and things like that. We used to just go out there, seaside, on the beach and that, on the promenade, go along the pier and play football on the Dragon. I was right near the seaside. And on the way back of a Sunday, we used to go to a turnip field and pinch a turnip. Need a turnip on the way back, and when he got home, he would say, "Why can't you get tea?" We were full of turnip, we didn't dare tell that. Well, that was about something up that way, that the only kid, that, you know. And I went to St. Peter's School, and the strange part about it is the playground for St. Peter's School was a flat roof on the top of the school, right by Derby Street Bus. And it's a plain football on the roof, like. And the teachers would walk up and down, kick you a check. And if you kicked a ball over the top, it went right down out the foot, the railway lines. And had to do you want to go and get it then. You know.
What were your memories of school? Anything?
Oh, quite pleasant. There was too many kids in my class. Pretty much the same all over it was. There was 52 or 54 kids in the class. And if you're just an also round, you're just an also round sort of thing. But if you're a bit thick, like, you never got out the point of end, like, you know.
So what were your favourite subjects?
Reading, I think. And I not too bad on maths, but arithmetic, they call it then. But history and geography, I was pretty hopeless with that, I think.
What about the teachers? Were they strict?
Sorry?
Were they strict, the teachers?
Oh, yeah. You got... Well, you had to be, you imagine, with all those kids, so lonely kids and all that. You just walk about, and if you spoke up the turn, you give you a clip along the ear and things like that. But a mate of mine one time called John Murray, and his dad never worked either. When he was singing the hymns and things like that at school, his kind of secret, he didn't sing, he just mimed. Because the teacher was listening, the teacher said, walk up and down. And says, I remember saying, there's someone singing a Dr. Flo. She was coming over listening. Because when he got to John Murray, John hadn't been singing at all, and John started, oh, and so it was you, and you just backed forward, John. He hadn't sung a word, and so he opened his mouth because teacher was there, and you've got to get along here. But on the whole, it was a quite happy childhood, and you know, the school was all right.
And the 11 plus, how did that affect your class? You said there was a big class, 52. About how many of them did go through the 11 plus?
Well, there's no choice, 11 plus 70s. But there was what they call, you could go to a central school. Well, I never made that grade. I just stuck in elementary all the time.
Did anybody, any of your friends in the classmates, did any of...
As a matter of fact, the lad who still lives in Associates now, he's my best man, he went to a better class school. I think he fell apart as well, you know.
Now, you said your father was unemployed for long periods,
yeah.
But he also got work. So how long would the work last when he got the job? And
well, at one time they had what you call relief work, and the dads used to have to go to work digging roads and things like that, and you got what they call 6 weeks relief. And of course, in that 6 weeks, you used to get blisters on the heart because I hadn't worked for so long and all that, you know. I remember my dad, this is true, son. They used to get in a chamber pot and paint a chamber pot and put his hands in to sort of heal the blisters and things like that. And his hands just started to get hardened up for working, and the 6 weeks went up and he got turfed out again on the door again.
And so that would be like a rota that they would bring in some men and then...
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
What was your father's attitude to this? I mean, who did he blame for the situation?
Well, I don't recall him blaming anybody at all, but I'd always be terribly upset because he couldn't get a job. And later on, he went to work, he got to know somebody who had a foreman in the docks, son of the docks. And this bloke, he was a bit of a nasty so-and-so. And he said his blue-eyed boys had given a drop, few bob and all that. But he picked up for work. And he used to say things like, you the cock eye, I'll give you a try. Which embarrassed the fella, but he couldn't say things because he wanted a job that badly. That was the way to go and things like that, you know. But my dad used to get a job occasionally with them. And of course, when the war came along, of course, he got one of the permanent jobs, like, and ribbons again.
Yeah, we'll get to that now. You mentioned off the tape that you're a Catholic. Being a Catholic back then, did you encounter kind of any prejudice from non-Catholics and things? Or
well, not in my town, but apparently never in town of Jarrah they were. But I can't recall it ever happening to me. But we used to get upset about it because being a Catholic, all the children in socials that were non-Catholics used to march on a Good Friday with all the best clothes on for Easter and all that sort of thing. And they used to get an apple and orange and a hot cross bun. And we Catholics couldn't get a damn thing. And it used to upset us. So what we used to do, me and a couple of lads, we used to wait to come back when the Salvation Army would have come back on the mission. We used to run and join them then so we could get an apple and orange and things like that. And we used to get upset about that. But that's what happened anyway.
What about your teachers at school? Were there many Irish teachers within the town? Were they all English?
I think they were all English, but I don't know. Yeah.
And what about things like St Patrick's Day? Did they make a big deal of that?
Well, you saw all wear shamrock and things like that. They'd buy at the shops and have shamrock badges and things like that with a shaking heart on and the shamrock thing. And it was pretty strict regards to religion and all that, like, but nothing nasty about it. Didn't sort of because you didn't know your catechism, didn't you crack your things like that? No.
Now, I forgot to ask you about how many brothers and sisters did you have?
How many?
Brothers and sisters.
Oh, I've got one brother. And he went to the centre school, he passed.
And was he older than you or younger than you?
He was older than I was, yeah.
What was he called?
His name was George. Because my brother was George, my dad was George, and my uncle was George. So they called me Uncle Geordie. My dad, George, and my brother, Georgie, just it was the three of them and all that, you know. And he went to work at Sunday Docks, and he got called up and went to the army, finished that, went to the engineer, I think.
Now, so when did you leave school?
14. I was working, I was working before I was 14 to when I was 13. I was going around there delivering newspapers and walking down the streets shouting, shooting gazettes, selling them. You've got tuppence for every dozen you sold. It took an awful long time to sell a dozen.
What was your, so that was the wage, was tuppence for a dozen?
Yeah, and people sold a penny each, I think it were. But I got tuppence, we sold a dozen, you got tuppence. Then I went to be an errand boy with a grocery shop, pulled the flat hand cart, and well, it was a sort of a high class grocer sort of thing, on a small way. And I had to pull this hand card and deliver to Lady Redhead or the doctors and all that sort of thing. But you never got anything out of it at all. Christmas you made it cost got them.
So what was the wage for the delivery job?
£6.
That was a week?
A wage, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, £6, yeah.
Well, can you remember just vaguely what the wages at the shipyard would have been? For your father when he was working, what kind of wage he would be bringing in?
I don't know. I know when he used to go to the door, he used to get 2 shillings a week from me, 2 shillings from my brother.
And
that was all he could get for the tours, 2 shillings. I don't think he'd get much more than £1 for him and mum either, really.
And obviously your mother wouldn't be working, she'd be looking after you.
Well, looked after me, and she looked after her mother because she was disabled and that, you know. We must have taken washing and things like that, and do a whole heap of washing and ironing and take it back for half a crown, which was, what's that, about 10, about 12 and a half feet, did it?
And the house that you were living in then?
Oh, it was only 2 rooms. What they call the best room, where Mum and Dad lived with a bed and all that. My brother lived in the other room. I had a scullery where you used to bring a bucket of water from the tap outside the backyard. You could wash with cold water the next morning. Many times I had to break the ice. And we had what they called a desk bed, which used to fold up. And used to get up to bed, school in the morning, and my mum used to make the bed fold up again. Make it, sort of a sideboard sort of thing.
And would that be a rented house?
Oh, yes.
And who would it be rented from?
Oh, the guys are coming on, they call them Codling, a fellow called Codling.
So it wasn't a council?
Oh, no.
It was a private land.
Yeah.
And what was the address again then?
106, 109 Palmerston Street. So Shields, that's High Shields actually. There's Low Shields, High Shields and Tight Dock. It's all So Shields really, it was High Shields.
Now, so you said you'd started to work before you left school.
Yeah.
And you were doing like selling the papers and so on. Now, had you given much thought to what you wanted to do when you left school? And you know, had you kind of thought what career you were going to have?
Ambitious sort of thing.
Yeah.
Well, no, really. I tell you the truth. When I was it's working all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
See, when I was getting near 14, I went over to try and get a job in a mine, in a colliery. What they call working on the belts, I think, is to get young kids standing there and picking the duck coal off the belts and all that, and so go down and on. But they wouldn't take me. I don't know, I was too tall, and whether I didn't sit in it, I don't know. But it was just as well that I didn't get it, because I wouldn't want to work down there anyway.
Can you remember what the colliery was, which colliery it was?
Harton Colliery.
What would attract you to that? Was the wages good at that work?
It was a job.
Just any job?
Any job, before you could be an errand boy.
So when you were talking to your friends, I mean, obviously you'd be 13 coming on 14, there'd be the lads in the year above would be going off to work or to whatever. What were you talking to yourselves about in terms of, well, you know, you knew you were going to be leaving school. Any job would have been a good job?
When you got to be an errand boy, that was a step up the sort of summit, because if nobody bought to town, you couldn't get a job.
So how did you get to be a bricklayer?
Let me think about that one. I applied for a firm called Spraggan, Jack Spraggan, and they took me on, and I was not quite 16 then. You couldn't start learning to be a tradesman until you were 16. Well, I was just over 15, and they gave me a job as a small builder. And basically, all they really wanted to do was to do labouring all the time, instead of paying a labourer, we'll get the young boy to do the labouring. We've had to buy all our tools for the beer bricklayer. It cost about 21 shilling, which is an awful lot of money at the time. But you had to pay a shilling a week for somebody who had to buy your tools.
And who would you buy them off?
I went to a firm called Wears in South Shields there, and I bought all the gear I had to buy, which I could afford to buy, like. And I started doing a little bit of the bills, say, pointing and things like that. And I remember one time, a bricklayer I worked with, Jimmy Wilson, he didn't turn up this day, and I was working on this cottage, what he called Ivy Cottage. I'd put all the iron off the walls, and already pointed the walls. And I just learned the point. And the reason Jimmy didn't come to work that day was because it was snowing. But I was a boy, I didn't realise that he couldn't work in the snow. So I was sitting on this flat roof, pointing away, and the boss came round there, and he says, "Where's Jimmy?" I says, "He hasn't turned up." He said, "You can't work this." I says, "Well, I didn't know." I said, "I'm just..." Instead of saying good night for trying to work, you sent me home and didn't pay me for the rest of the day. So if you didn't work at all for rates, your blow, even as an apprentice, you didn't get paid at all.
Can you remember what your first wage was? As a Brit?
6 and 4 pence. Yeah, 4 pence extra. I said, put the 4 pence, put the wooden dead, tell me, Mum, I took the 4 pence. I said, buy a big bar of Vegans chocolate with nuts and things like that, because you didn't get much like on your younger.
So
eat that when fork goes home.
So you were still living with your parents, and you'd have to tip up how much of your wage, would you get back the pocket money?
Oh, I'll get probably sure the big pocket money back.
And so
cover up five shilling.
And you're a young lad, you're 14, you're 15. What were your hobbies? What would you do with that shilling?
I used to just go round and buy, get books from the library, or buy a comic at a second hand shop. You could get another comic, and take two back and get one. You walk a mile and a half to change it because you could get two for three. You should took 3 comics, but you could get 2 comics.
And what comics would you?
The Funny Wonder comic cuts, the Larks and things like that. You know. And of course, I got more advanced to get the Wizard and the Rover, which was schoolboy books. And I got more clever again, reading all about Billy Bunton. You know, all that sort of public school boys, you know, that was my favourite, that was. I remember running away from school, all the way home to Billy Bunter, that sort of thing.
What did you like about Billy Bunter?
Oh, yeah, Billy Bunter, yeah. Billy, Harry, I know all the names of them kids there now. The famous five, I remember all the names of the kids in that comic, out of the book, the little magazines they were. Great to meet that.
What about the pictures? Did you go to the pictures?
I did. When I first started to go, it was the second pictures. And I used to go to a place called the Tivoli. I used to call it the Lop House because there was nothing there at all. And I reckon if you sat in the front seat, you had to wear a gum with son because people used to appear on the floor. And that was just a standard joke, of course. That, you know. And of course, what abused me was, I can still think back, a lot of the old ladies used to take their shawls with them and their aprons and peel the paste. They said peas in pods and all that. So peel all them, so all the pods on the floor, and take the peas home to cook and all that. And of course, a lot of people there couldn't read. So the ones that could read was reading out what the sailors feel said. Now he's there behind it, look out and think like that. You know, which was frightful. Then of course, they started to get talkie pictures, and I started to go to them. And the Tiffy still kept up with the sailor pictures. And they come up with original talkies, first talkies and all that. What it was, there was a silent picture on, but no words. There was a guy there and a woman here, and were just mouthing the words. But no, just like that. They were sitting there, he would answer the books per person, she would answer the woman's words. That never lasted very long.
You had a physical somebody in the actual audience?
No, they were outside, you know, off the stage, as it were, you know.
But there were people in the cinema talking the words.
Yeah, they were, yeah. They were actually by the screen, but you couldn't see them. You were talking the words.
And how long did that didn't last?
Oh, it didn't last very long because it started, as well as probably starting to get a bit more advanced to go to better class pictures.
What kind of pictures did you like to go to see then when you were a kid?
Well, I used to go to a place called the Crown Cinema, and another one called the Imp, but you could get in there for tuppence. And of course, Well, you only got to be 14. You wouldn't have to pay fours. You couldn't afford fours. So the girl used to go to our church. She was older than I was. And she worked there. And I went there and I put out tuppence to get in. She says, "Where's your wife?" Which embarrassed me. No one didn't go back there anymore. Because I'm supposed to pay fours. I'll get taught big lad then. Yeah. That was, but all of it, you went there because you get two films in the one night. You get the two B-movies, I suppose it were. You know.
What kind of films did you like then? Did you do British films or American films?
Well, I used to like the funny ones, like with the British funny ones, with Dan Rupino, Lloyd Howerton, and just get the Charlie Chase and Charlie Chaplin. And of course, you got it in the Cowboys, like Hopping on Cassidy, Hood Gibson, all that sort of thing, you know, which was very good.
Now, you got your job as a bricklayer. Your friends at school in your class, yeah. What did they do? Can you remember about?
Well, some of them managed to get jobs in the shipyard, some of them went down to mines and things like that. Yeah.
Did anybody do anything like unusual, like decide to go to another country or, you know, go away to sea or anything like
Not
that?
Not our way of, no. We had one kid that went to school with us, and he was a Maltese boy, and our family used to bully him no end, and you know. I don't mean brutally, but they take a big bit of water there and all that. Well, I think about how old Campbell were and all that, you know. And he got some novel idea. His dad's supposed to buy a dinner plate. We were just young at the time. And he had a John Bull Clinton set. And bit one man, one boy on the plane, stand back down on the plane to get a free rate of his dad's plane. We said, "Look, I think it's great. We're going to get a plane." And of course, his dad. I had a job as well, but with aircraft.
So you were an apprentice bricklayer now.
Yeah.
You were getting your six bob a week.
Yeah. You get a rise about rise from second form to 8 tops or something like that. Went on to the last year you got the full money.
And how long did the apprenticeship last?
5 years.
Now, and what work, it was a private builder you were working for,
yeah.
So what kind of work were you doing? Was it all houses?
All this only repair work. The odd time we built the odd house, but I had very little knowledge of actual brickwork. You know.
So your boss, the builder, was his business thriving, or was he just ticking over as well, do you think? Or?
I think we're doing quite well. I don't know. You see, I got so fed up with doing living all the time. I refused to do it, being a son lad, and he sacked us. And I went home crying. I just bought all my tools, and I got sacked. And I went home crying. And as somebody says, "Why don't you go and talk to Walter Smith? He had worked with the same firm as me." So I went around and saw this Walter Smith. Both of us went round, and Walter says, "I'll pick you because you're the biggest." So I went to work for another firm called Ridley. And this chap called Spraggan, I'm jumping ahead of it now. When I come back from the army, I'd walk along the road and you saw me, you come out and spoke to me. He asked how I was getting on. I says, "The last time you saw me," I says, "you were going to kick me ass because I packed a job in." You know, he said, "Oh, what are you trying to do it now?" He says, "You're a big lad." I was a, you know, big 6 foot, a strong fella than that, you know. And you realise that you did the wrong thing, hanging out. But anyway, that was another story.
Now you were working for this builder. You were working in private houses. About how far would you have to go to work? Because obviously, the kind of private cars were very few and far between.
On so your bike, it's good to be basically all the time. Yeah.
And so, how far would the work take you? About how far from Shales would you have to get?
2 or 3 miles. And once the boss had a job at Heaven, which is about 6 or 7 miles. And he took us there in the car one day. I had a cycle every day after that, and I got 8 minutes a week for using your bike. So I was driving second day and second back, about 8 miles each way, or something like 8 miles each way, that, you know. And I can see I was doing it really good.
So, with all the workers as well, like a fellow about 40 or 50, would he be on a bike as well, or would it just be like the young lads? So,
well, he probably got lift the boss's car, I think. So they'd be the boy, like, you know.
Yeah. So, So this is taking you into like the mid-1930s and
Yeah.
so on. When were you first aware that there might be kind of like problems in Europe that might, get us into a war? What was the first kind of personal memory where you thought there's something going on here that
Well, that sort of thing didn't enter my mind a great deal, I must confess, until actually the war started. Then all the guys who had been to school with me and things like that were going into service and things like that. And I was building area shelters and doing bomb repairs. I did that for quite some time before I actually got called up.
Yeah, just to go back a little bit, can you remember anything about the Chamberlain talks and the peace in our time and all of that? Can you remember how that affected?
Well, I was at mass at Tay Dock Church when the Saudis went in, and the priest came out and all that. Everybody sort of dashed out, they expected to be bombs and all that, flying about and all that, or getting their gas masks and things like that. But that's what I know. And of course, like I say, I was doing all this repair work and all that, and starting to build the shelters and bomb damage. Because I've got a fair amount of bombs in my hometown, between the shipyards and docks and things like that.
Can you remember your first air raid? Well,
Well, I can remember it, and there was one time. You see, we had a garden. We lived in a council house, and we used to have to go in what they call an Anderson Aerial Shelter. That was a galvanised iron thing that was in the ground, which used to get filled with water. So they put some little concrete walls to try to keep the water out, and they couldn't do it. So I got some stuff from work, and I rented all the insides of walls with this waterproofing stuff to stop the water from coming in. I got a certain amount of success. And my mother's always made us go down the area shelter. But anyway, I refused to go down the area shelter. My grandmother was there, my dad wasn't there, and brother, and I refused to go. Anyway, the mother came upstairs crying, "You better come in a bit." So I said, "Okay," and I went in the area shelter. Next morning, when I went back upstairs, lo and behold, right on my pillow was a big, massive bit of brickwork when it hit me. And after that, they didn't take it on, convinced to get back down the other shelter. Then we got there, had to leave the house because it was a mine. I'd been there, he'd come down on a parachute, some of these mines, and just about 200 yards away, it had landed. So I'd go and live with my mate for 2 or 3 days till I've got the mine, so I've got sorted all out.
Who was that? Who was your friend?
My fellow turned to be my best man.
What's his name?
George Hodgson.
Now,
His dad used to be the local chimney sweep. Like a posh sort of a prim chimney, where they get all the top jobs and all that.
You mentioned the house was a council house now. So when did you move from the other house? Can you remember what year that was?
No.
Was it a better house?
Oh, blimey, I only had two rooms, one.
So what was better about the new house?
Well, you could had a bath,
Inside.
and an oven. Well, we had an oven in one place, but you had a bath, you could hot water. You could never have hot water, only when your man bought the pans one, get it washed.
And did you have the inside
Outside
toilet as well? Did it have a
toilet, yeah. Oh, yeah, inside
so?
toilet.
And was the rent less or more than at the other place?
Was not much more, I don't think. Pretty much the same.
Now, so the war's kind of, we're moving towards the war. When did the work start to pick up for people like your dad, shipyard workers? When did they start to?
Well, it didn't start really till 40, probably early 40.
So in 1939, there was.
But it was sad because actually, when I was building the area shelters, instead of having a job, and I got him a job on the going on with the. Worked with a bricklayer they got, and he had to have the big buckets of concrete put them on the concrete roof. And he was damn glad when they got a chance to go back to the shipyard because that was far too much heavy work for him,
Now, as we move towards the war, when did you think that you might be involved in it, that there might be you might
Well,
be
you
wearing a
see,
uniform?
a lot of my friends had been called up. And I thought, I'll go and volunteer.